Hey, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Good, good. Hey, you ever get on stage in front of a lot of people and realize you have to pee? Me either. It never happens. Hey, I'm so glad you're here. Listen, I'm pretty excited about today. Before I get into our message today, I want to communicate this. As Cynthia just mentioned in news, Saturday is serve day, everybody. It is serve day. And here's what I want to communicate. If you have never engaged in a day like this, and your schedule allows you to do it, I promise you, listen to me, this is not some ploy. We gain nothing by asking you to engage other than the experience that you will have making a difference in the lives of other people. No matter what you do, whether you're outside and sweating or whether you're indoors and organizing or whatever it is, we have several serve opportunities and would love for your involvement. I want to show you a photo of last year. This is, look at everybody right there. Isn't that awesome? Look at all those people. Yes. Everybody's all excited, and so from there, this would happen, by the way, on our main campus, which is across the street, right next door to St. Augustine High School. So if you're a guest, by the way, we actually are a church that has been in existence. We have a location, a property. It's just next door to this building, but growth demanded that we do something, and we decided to move into the auditorium. Our kids meet in that campus, and then we do prayer services in that campus, 21 days of prayer coming in August. All 21 events will be held in that building, and then the Serve Day event Saturday morning will be held right there. So you would show up there, you would come. I'm going to encourage you to get there by 7 a.m. That is not too early. You can do it, all right? Just sleep a little more the night before. You can be there. I'm going to encourage you to show up by 7 a.m., particularly if you've never served before. We're going to get you registered. We'll make sure you get a shirt. We'll give you something to eat, and then we'll rally together. We'll all pray together, and then we're going to go deploy on our community and make a difference with churches all across the United States and other parts of the world all on the same day. What time are we going to meet? Say it. 7 a.m. You guys are so smart. When do we do this? Saturday. Very, very good. I can't wait to see you there. Listen, I want to get right into the second installment of a message series that we're calling Miracles in the Mundane. Question. Do you ever just feel like things become boring, routine? Why am I still doing this? Why do I still go to this job? I don't know. I feel like that's pretty extreme, but maybe some of you feel that way. Why do I keep consistently on this diet? Is it even making a difference? Why do I continue to budget my finances every week? Is it actually getting me ahead? Why do I wake up early and try to spend time with God by reading His Word and spending time in prayer? Is it growing my spiritual person? Come on, right? Some of these questions, I think, get asked by us all the time. And I think that it's easy for people to sometimes just fall off of doing routine, rhythmic type things. But I hope that this series re-engages you to the value and to the importance of that. I want to start with this verse. It's found in Psalm chapter 77, verse 14. The Bible says this, that you are the God who performs, say that word with me, He performs miracles, and how does He do it? He displays it among His people. And what I believe is that God does miraculous things when we do mundane things. We're going to look at that a little bit today. My pastor, the founding pastor of this church, he used to say it this way, you do what you can do, and then watch God do what only He can do. I love that statement. I've been hearing that for decades of my life, and I love that statement. Hey, just do your part. You do what you are capable of doing, because God will do things that you are not capable of doing. The miracle is done by Him, the work done by you. And so I want to take you to a story in the Bible that I found intriguing and interesting. I think it implies a strong presence to the idea of just being consistent. Today, I'm going to talk to you about the miracle of consistency. The miracle of consistency. I'm going to take you to John chapter 2. We're going to read 8 verses. The Bible says this, that the next day, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. And Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and His disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities. Here's what that means. The DJ was awesome. All right. Stomp one time. Come on, right? They were having a good time at this at this wedding, and the wine supply runs out. So Jesus, verse 3, the wine supply ran out during the festivities. So Jesus' mother told him, they don't have any more wine. And verse 4, Jesus is like, dear woman, that's not our problem. How many of you have ever said that? That ain't my problem. That's somebody else's issue. Come on, right? He says, that's not our problem. My time has not yet come. But his mother told the servants, and I want you to notice what she says. She tells the servants, do whatever he says. Whatever he tells you, just do it. And standing nearby were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, fill the jars with water. And when the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. So the servants followed his instruction. Here's what happens, okay? There's a wedding. It's a party. The dance floor is happening. People are excited. Man, they just keep going back to the bartender, get another glass of wine, get another glass of wine. Next thing you know, it is out. There's no more wine, and this is an issue. And Jesus' mother comes to Jesus, and she's like, hey, I think you can fix this. I think you can do something about this. And he's like, this is not my problem. And then she looks to the servants, and she says, I just want you to do whatever he tells you to do. Whatever he says, just do it. If it sounds crazy, do it. If it makes sense, just do it. Whatever he says, you just do what he says. Jesus then tells them, hey, I want you to fill these stone pots with water. They fill them up. Now dip it out. I want you to bring it to the most important person here. They bring it to the master of ceremonies. And the Bible tells us that when the person drank this wine, they said, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Most people bring the best wine out first, and then they leave the other stuff once people are a little tipsy. They don't notice, but you have saved the very best wine for last. And I want to dig into this just a little bit. The first thing that I want to dig into is that Jesus' mother gives some instruction. I just want you to do whatever he says. And listen, I know that not everybody in this room is following Jesus, and that's perfectly fine. We're glad you're here. But there are many people in this room that we are following Jesus. We have put our faith in him. We are doing all that we can do to walk in a way that brings him glory and honor. We're trying to grow in our spiritual condition. We're trying to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus. And here's what I know, that whether you've been doing this for years or whether you've been doing this for days, sometimes Jesus is going to ask us to do things. And sometimes when Jesus asks of us, it isn't easy. Sometimes it doesn't make a lot of sense. Now, I just want to put it into context here, that he says to the servants, hey, you see all these stone water pots? Fill them up. Just get them full. Now, let's just contextualize it a little bit, because what I want you to know is that these servants, this would have been normal activity. Normal. They would have done this before. Now, I don't know how they did it. I cannot imagine that they would carry these pots. I mean, think about it now. If you were told to fill up several 30-gallon pots, it wouldn't be that big a deal because you just turn on the water hose and stand there till it's full, right? You just turn it on, especially if you had to move those carts. You know, if you had like maybe a little dolly or something with some wheels on it, you could just roll it to the sink and then roll it back. That's not the case here, is it? The actual situation here is that these pots have to get filled with water, and they don't have running water in this house. So somebody's going to have to go to the nearest well or creek or river and in some form get all these pots full. Now, for context here, anybody ever filled up your 5-gallon can of gasoline? Yeah, a couple of us. Right? Those of us that don't have lawn care companies, come on, pray for me. I'd love to have that in Jesus' name. I don't want to cut grass anymore. You ever filled up the 5-gallon container of gasoline and then you had to like walk it from the back of the truck to the garage? Come on, let's don't act like we're super fit. Grab that thing off the tailgate, you be leaning over a little bit, sticking your arm out like a counterbalance, just trying to, dear God, if I can just get this thing to the lawnmower and get it in there without splashing it all over the floor, it'll be a really successful afternoon. Maybe my HOA will stop sending me letters because the grass will be mowed. Listen, that thing's only 5 gallons. It's plastic. I mean, we're talking about several stone pots that are 30 gallons each. And Jesus says to the servants, I need them full. Go fill them up. And to the servants, this would have been a task that they did. All right, fine. We fill them up. We'll fill them. We'll do our system. However that system was, I don't know. I'd love to read into this, and I would love to get creative and let my weird mind go to work here. But let's just say, for the sake of time and argument, that they just do what they always did, and they just got the pots full of water. Whatever that system was, ultimately, they fill them. And here's just what I know about my personal walk with Jesus, is that sometimes he tells me things to do. And sometimes I don't want to do them, because I always do this. Jesus, I mean, seriously, again? Do you know how hard it is, Jesus, to get water from the well to these pots? Do you know how many trips that I'm going to have to make with a stupid 5-gallon red can to get all those things full of water? And I just believe that in our lives there are times that Jesus speaks things into our lives, and sometimes we are the ones that are going, I don't really want to do it. And maybe it's because we don't know how effective it is. Does it really make sense for me to read my Bible every day? Does it really make sense for me to pray all the time? Does it really make sense for me to keep praying for that person seriously? Because I don't see a change in their life, their demeanor, their attitude. They tease me about my faith. They make fun of my faith. I'm just trying to be a good witness for Jesus. And yet, Jesus, you want me to continue to live in a way that is righteous and holy. You want me to be loving and life-giving. You want me to forgive my enemies. You actually want me to do the things that the Bible says to do. Is anybody with me this morning? Because sometimes the things that Jesus says to do are difficult. Sometimes the things that Jesus say to do are just routine. They are mundane. Again, another step, another day, another week, another month. Seriously, Jesus, another year. But I'm going to tell you something, that God has this ability to do miracles in the lives of people that are consistent. There's this phrase that I love, and it goes like this, that small steps become giant leaps. When we just consistently put one foot in front of the other in the direction of what we feel called to do, or what we've chosen to do, or what we feel like would be a good idea for us to do, those small steps become giant leaps. Because what happens is, retrospectively, when we look back on our lives, we go, oh, wow. Wow, look at the distance that I've covered. Look at the gains that I've made. Look at how far I've come. And I believe this is going to resonate with all of you, no matter where you are with God. So today, if I can, I'd like to tell stories. I told stories last week. Can I tell some stories today? I want to tell you the story of somebody who actively serves on our serve team here at Church on the Rock. There's a young lady in our church by the name of Stormy. Clearly, people know her and love her. So about 5 years ago, Stormy was in a dark place in her life. She was a Christian but had just drifted. She was far from God. And through some events, she was searching, just searching. And as she tells the story, she would show up to Church on the Rock. This is when we were still meeting in the small auditorium next door. And she would show up to Church on the Rock intentionally late every week. And I know some of you guys do that too, okay? And that's okay. She said, I would come late on purpose. And I would sneak into the back row on purpose. And then I would leave early on purpose. Because I did not, this is her words, not mine, I did not want to be found. I didn't want to talk to people. I didn't want to connect. I just wanted to show up and leave. Stormy would do this for a year. Show up late, leave early. Back row. But something began to happen over time, is that a little bit of trust was gained, and then maybe just a little more, and then 1 week turned into a month, and then 1 month turned into six, and six is now a year. And then at some point, she quite literally, and I use that very, very sparingly because of middle schoolers, but she quite literally began to move her way forward in our auditorium on Sundays. And she would just move forward to, from the back row to, let's say, halfway. I don't know how long that took, but then I remember every single Sunday morning seeing her on the front row, left side, every Sunday. And she wasn't showing up late anymore, and she wasn't leaving early anymore. She would engage in conversations. She got to know some people. She started to connect to life groups. She started to connect to the serve team. She started to get involved in our church. She started to draw her heart closer and closer and closer to the heart of God. She would meet the man that is now her husband in our church. I stood at the very front of the auditorium on an event in one of the most impromptu weddings I've ever done in my life. We had about 15 minutes of planning, and they would make a covenant commitment before their friends and before God in our church where they met. Her son baptized here in this church. Amen. And then this morning, she stood right about here and led you in song. And what I saw over a span of 5 years was a progression from the back row to the platform, living out her purpose to serve you. And I think to myself, look what consistency did. Because for many of us, it was just another Sunday. It was just another sermon. It was just another door. It was just another parking lot. It was just another car, just another baby. It was just another day. All the while, a miracle was taking place in the life of someone within our church that is now fully engaged in her walk with Christ and fully engaged in the life of our church. And I say to myself, that's a miracle in the mundane. It's a miracle in the mundane. Recently, and here I will be far more discreet, but recently we had someone reach out to our church. And these are the things, by the way, that you don't always get to see or hear about, right? On Sundays. You might get a glimpse of this story from your life group if this person was a part of your life group or whatever. I'm just trying to unveil some things that take place in our church. But very recently, within the last couple of months, we had someone reach out to our church who was self-described agnostic. I'm not necessarily for God, nor am I necessarily against God. I just don't have a thought about it or whatever. And again, I'm being discreet on purpose, but basically I'm interested. There's a reason that I'm interested in knowing more, and I wanted to reach out to you guys. And so I personally began to engage in a conversation with this person just via email, just some questions back and forth, and we established a time where this person would come to our church on a Sunday morning, and we had a serve team member that was focused solely on meeting this person. Hey, we would love for you to arrive at this time, meet this person at this place. They got the full tour. They got to go behind the scenes everywhere. I established a time where it's like, I want to meet them face to face. We got to be able to do that and have conversation and all these things. And they spent the entire Sunday with us. And at one point in our email exchange, I was curious. We had really gotten to the meat of the concept. I was just curious now for the surrounding things that were around the story. And I asked two questions. These are the only two I'll share. And the questions I asked were this: how many churches did you reach out to? Question one. And then question two, what led you to contact us? I was very intrigued. Like, did you just like flood a bunch of churches with this question and we responded? What was the deal? And I'm going to read the response. Church on the Rock is the only church that I reached out to. Listen to this. I spent about 45 minutes to an hour searching churches before I reached out to you. I wanted to make sure, I love this sentence. I wanted to make sure the church was inviting to everyone, and for lack of a better term, that it was fun. And that's the response. And right now, in our midst, in real time, miracles are taking place. God is on the move in the hearts of people. And you thought it was just another Sunday. You thought it was just another set up and take down. It was just another hot July afternoon to park another car It was just another sacrificial serve to greet people. Just another moment on a kid's campus to serve someone's children. It was just another Sunday, but the thing is, miracles take place in mundane things, don't they? It's miracles like Stormy and like this person that our church has the opportunity to connect with and to serve on a very one-on-one, very personal level to say, hey, what questions do you have and how can we serve you? Listen, our responsibility, can I preach a second? Because our responsibility is not to convert people. Our responsibility is to love people with the love of Jesus. I can't change anyone's heart, and neither can you, but I can hold doors, and I can set up scuba wall, and I can park cars, and I can smile, and I can greet, and I can show love, and I can show compassion, and I can welcome people, and I can make sure that people feel connected and cared for, and then I will let our God, who only God can do heart change, do what only He can do, because I'll do the things that I can do. Sure, man, I'll vacuum the floor. I'll pick up the trailer. It doesn't matter to me. I will empty the trash can. I will clean the toilet. It doesn't matter because it's significant and because it's ministry and because sometimes those mundane, consistent, rhythmic things that we do, miraculous things follow as a result of our obedience to God. How is God calling you to fill the water jar? What is it? What is it that He's calling you to do? The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, let us not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up. At just the right time, at God's time, in God's timing, there'll be a harvest, there'll be a miracle. There'll be a reason for your consistency. There'll be a reason for you obediently filling your water jars because there is miracles in consistency. Here's a core value of our church. It's one of my favorites. We say it like this, that we believe consistency matters. It matters. Serving people faithfully builds trust and produces life change. This is a value to us. Stormy told me just this morning when I asked the permission, like, hey, I actually think, because I didn't prepare to tell that story until about 30 minutes before this service. I said, hey, with your permission, I'd like to tell your story. And she said, yes. And she said, here's the thing, because she knew what I was going to talk about today. And she said, here's the thing, to be quite honest with you, consistency is what did it. It was just consistently loving me over time that I began to trust you. And when she said you, she's talking about you, like this church. I begin to trust. Why? Why? Because you're faithful. Because you're consistent. And the Bible talks about faithfulness. In fact, we talked about it last Sunday. The Bible has a lot to say about being faithful and about being consistent. We read the story where Jesus looked at some servants and He said, well done, my good and faithful. He didn't say, well done, my good and successful servant. My well done, my good and high achieving servant. My well done and influential servant. He didn't say, well done, my incredibly talented and high profile, well known servant. He didn't say the servant that's got the best family on the block, fastest growing church in the city. He didn't say any of those things. He said, well done to your faithfulness, to your consistency, to the rhythms of the mundane things that build trust with people, that actually produce life change because it's in our mundane activities oftentimes that God's like, this is where I do my best work. And so here's my action step for you, because the application will have to be done by you for you. Here's my application. Stay faithful. Be consistent. Listen. Keep serving on the team. Keep giving generously. Keep praying for that loved one. Keep witnessing in the office place. Keep being the unusual one in the neighborhood because of your faith. Listen, keep up with the diet. Keep the financial disciplines that prevent you from impulse spending, from long-term success and balance. keep up the little things, the consistent, mundane, routine things that your children are watching daily. Keep up with being that high energy, bubbly person in a workplace full of toxicity. Be the one that keeps showing up on time when everyone else is always late. Keep being the person that just leans in to what God is calling you to do. How about this? Keep waking up and opening that devotion on YouVersion. Keep opening that Bible, even if you're like, I don't even know if this is serving me. I don't even know that I fully understand it. I got an idea for you. Keep going. Keep talking to God on a consistent basis, even though you feel like you don't know how to pray. I don't pray like them. I don't know the scriptures like her. I'm not as faithful as they are. I got an idea. Just keep going. Just keep doing it. Do it every day. Do it consistently. Be okay with the mundane, because that's where God does miracles. He does miracles among his people. But the irony is, he needs his people to do the miracles. I'm also going to challenge some of you, and I actually think this would be the minority of the room, the minority of those that are connected to our church and listen. But I'm going to challenge some of you, because some of you, you've yet to engage into the life of your church. You've never been a part of a life group, never. I'm busy. Can I just help you? Everybody that's in life groups is busy. They don't go to groups because they're bored. They go to groups because they want to see God do something in them that's sustainable. And real life change happens in the context of relationships. Engage in your church. Go to All Access. What is it? Go find out. Like, be intentional. Do so. It's three steps. Take all three. Do it. And then you decide. You decide if you want this to be your church. You decide if you want to connect. You decide if you want to fully engage. It's all up to you, actually. We call it All Access because if this is your church, we want you to have access to all that we offer. All of it. It's yours. Some of you haven't engaged in being generous, giving. When God's been prompting your heart, man, it's time. It's time. I know that money's tight sometimes, and I know that you value it, but I've been asking you to be faithful and to respond to me with your giving. And some of you keep withholding. I don't know that I trust you. I don't know. And I'm just saying, like, maybe that's something you start. Maybe it's just time for some of us to get going. Maybe it's time for many of us to keep going. Well, other people didn't serve this week. Maybe I should just disengage too. No. Miracles happen in mundane things. God moves in people's lives. God does what only he can do when we do what we can do. Amen. Amen. Hey, every head bowed and eye closed, if you would, just for a moment. I want to do what we do every Sunday. Every Sunday. It's a promise we make, actually, in step one of All Access, that every Sunday, no matter the speaker, no matter the topic, that we are always going to give people an opportunity to meet Jesus for the first time, to put their faith in him. And we do this every single week. Why? Because consistency matters. Because miracles take place when we do what we've been called to do. So if you're in this room this morning and never made a decision to put your faith in Jesus, this is your moment. This is your moment. And I want to invite you to do that right now. Listen to me. You don't have to have your whole life put together. You don't have to have it all figured out. None of us do. It is simply putting your faith in the one who paid the price for all your imperfections. His name is Jesus. And what I want to do is I just want to lead you in a very simple prayer. This moment is your moment. This is between you and God. So if that's you, I want you to say this prayer with me. I'm going to say it. I want you to repeat it. Church family, you know how we do it. I ask everybody to say it out loud. Why? Because I want the people saying it for the first time to be able to say it out loud and with confidence. Here's our prayer. I want you to say, "Dear Jesus, I give you my life. All of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen." Come on, let's put our hands together and celebrate. Would you just stand with me this morning as we celebrate those that just put their faith in Jesus?